In this video lesson, we're going to talk about some of the building blocks of relational databases, namely tables, columns, and records. We'll also demonstrate how to create a database using the other Express Edition tools, like Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition, and show how to define a table, and then we'll add and modify data to our new table. But let's begin this lesson talking about what a table is conceptually. Now, we noted in the previous lesson that databases are not magic, but simply are computer files that are optimized to store data in a structured way. And the way that databases are organized and structured is through the use of tables. One database can contain one or more tables. And it might help to think about a database at first like an Excel spreadsheet, in so much that a spreadsheet can contain one or more worksheets, and each worksheet then has one or more columns and one or more rows. Now, the similarities really end there, so don't make a mistake of overextending this analogy. But a table is defined when you define one or more columns and then give those collective columns a name, a table name. Each instance of a set of columns, as defined in the table, is referred to as a record or as a row. So tables are made up of columns. Each table has one or more columns, and each column really has three distinct pieces of information defined about it. First of all, the column has a name. It also defines what the type of data will be that will be stored in that column. So, for example, we have to define if we expect character data or string data to be saved in that given column, or numbers or dates or currency, and so on. And to borrow from the previous lesson, there's really two purposes for this. First of all, it enables data integrity, and we'll hear a lot about that throughout the remainder of our lessons. But as we said in the previous lesson, by virtue of the fact that any given column can only store one particular type of data, means that the data that actually does get to be stored in that particular field of information for a given row will be reliable. It'll be of the correct data type. That'll eliminate all the other possibilities. And then the second purpose that this serves is to allocate the proper amount of space in the physical file for that particular piece of information. So numerical data, dates, currency, different types of string characters will be different sizes, and so we need to allocate the proper amount of space within the file system for that particular bit of data to be stored so that it can be stored in a very optimized sort of way for retrieval. And then the third thing that defines a column is special properties. And there's a number of different special properties. We'll talk about a few of them in this lesson and then a couple of others as we continue on. But they can be things like whether or not the column will automatically be numbered as new rows are added to the particular table, or can this particular column be left empty? Is this a key field in relating tables to other tables? And there's actually a few more properties that we can set as well. But the moral of the story is that a table is made up of columns, and columns are composed of a name, a data type, and any other special properties that make this a unique and well-suited for its purpose. So once you've defined all the columns for a particular table, then you can begin to add information to that table. Each new instance of the columns that collectively comprise the table is referred to as a row or a record, or as I've noted here, it might be referred to as a tuple in some situations. So conceptually, what are rows? Well, if you think of a spreadsheet again, to go back to the analogy that we used a few moments ago, you may have at the very top in the first row defined in column A, for example, in an Excel spreadsheet, an order ID, and then in column B, first name, in column C, last name, and so on. Then each individual row after the first row would be an instance of that. So in the second row, you might have an ID of 1, first name Bob, last name Tabor. In the next row, you would have an ID or order ID of 2, and the first name Steve and the last name Jaworski, and so on. Each row is another instance, I guess you could say, of order ID, first name, last name, and so on. Now, for those of you who have worked through some of the object-oriented terminology, you can think of this in terms of sort of a class and an object. We understand that a class is merely a definition, it's a blueprint, and that you can create new instances of the class, which are called objects. You can have many objects that are created from one instance as defined in your source code. Similarly, you might have many rows that are all instances of your table definition, of all the columns that define your table. So let's add to the terminology a little bit and talk about fields. And as you can see here in the latter part of this slide, that a field of data is a single value in a row. You can kind of think of it, again, to borrow from the analogy of the spreadsheet, as the intersection between a row and a column. Now, the use of the term field is kind of tricky because in different texts and different websites that you refer to, a field can sometimes be referred to as a column, but that's not how we're going to use it in these videos. You typically will see this referred to as one bit of data, one intersection between a row and a column. Okay, so let's do a quick review, just because the terminology is so important when we're referring and getting started with databases. First of all, a table is a collection of columns. Once you've defined your columns, then it is a collection of data that are all instances of those columns. You define columns to hold certain bits of information. Each row of data is an instance of all the collection of columns that are defined within a table. And finally, a field of information is the intersection of a row and a column, or in other words, just one piece of information that comprises a complete row of data. So now that we have a pretty good conceptual understanding of what a database is, what tables are, and how they're comprised of columns and rows, and so forth, let's go ahead and put that knowledge to practical use. You can see that we've opened up Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition, and our intent here is to take our little sample project called SQL Lesson 02 and add a database to it. So what I want to do to begin with is go to my toolbar and select Add New Item. And that'll pop open the Add New Item dialog box. I'll want to select SQL Database from the templates and then change the name from database.mdf to something like my sample. You can name it anything you like to. And I'm going to click the Add button. Now it's going to pop open a little message box letting us know that there's a special folder within ASP.NET 2.0 applications that you should generally try to utilize whenever you're building applications with Visual Web Developer. Do you want to put your new database in this folder? And we're going to go ahead and respond yes to that question. And you'll see that the Database Explorer now pops open. Let's switch back to the Solution Explorer, and we can see that we have an app data folder with now our new mysample.mdf file and a supporting file, mysample_log.ldf. We'll talk about log files in more depth in lesson number 7. Let's not worry about those for right now. But notice once we created our new database that it popped open the Database Explorer, and you can see here that we have a little data icon with a little X through it. This simply means that we haven't yet connected. We haven't handshaked with the database, haven't begun speaking with the database. But we can simply do that by selecting refresh, and now we can look at all the tables, all the diagrams, all the views, and all the major objects that are stored within the database. Now, up to this point, we've only talked about tables, and we're going to focus mainly on tables for the remainder of this lesson series. I'm going to right-click tables and select Add New Table, because currently our database is empty. Now, in the main area of Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition, you'll see that we have an area where we can begin to define the columns, the data types and some special properties about each of the columns. So in this particular example, I'm just going to create a simple customer database, customer table, and I'm going to give the first column the name customer ID. And this will be a column that has a unique number associated with each row, so that we can easily identify each column, so that if we have two John Smiths, for example, we'll be able to identify John Smith number 2 as opposed to John Smith number 47, at least in the context of our database. We also then will have to define a data type. Typically, customer IDs are of type integer, so I'm going to scroll up to int. And then the next piece of information we'll have to fill out is whether or not this field should allow null values. Should it ever be empty? I'm going to say no, it should never be empty, so I'm going to deselect the checkbox for that particular column. Now at this point, I have some options. I can set some other column properties, which we will want to do in this particular case, or since I've defined enough information, I can save table number 1, currently table 1 being the default name, since we haven't given it a name yet, by selecting the Save button. Before I save it, however, I do want to define some more information about it. You can see, since we're still selected in our little grid-like area, customer ID, that we can see some of the properties that we're able to define here. We've already defined whether or not to allow nulls or empty fields. We've already given it a name. We've already defined its data type. And there's some other information that we can fill in as well. Now, one of the things that we'll talk about in a few moments is an identity specification. We'll come back to that at that time. The next thing that we'll want to do is collect a first name. In this particular case, we'll want to store character values. We'll want to allow this to be variable or kind of an expanding sized field. So I'm going to select varchar 50. The char means characters. The 50 means the maximum length that this will be allowed to be. And the var means that it can expand. It's variable. If your first name is only 2 characters long, then it will only create enough space to store just 2 characters. If, however, your name is 49 characters long, then it will expand out all the way to meet that need. But this is one way that you can save a little bit of space in your database by allowing a varchar. And we'll talk about the available data types in just a few moments. Should we allow nulls in this field? Probably not. Let's go ahead and define the next field, last name, and we'll make this a varchar 50 as well. Again, let's not get too concerned about what these data types are. We'll talk about those in a minute. But let's talk about, let's create another type of column. Let's say we could do address, you know, things of that nature. And continue on. Maybe we'll want to change from a varchar 50, and we know that we want to store a lot more data in this field, so I'm going to change the length to potentially 200 characters. Hopefully nobody's address is longer than 200 characters. If we were to try to store data that was longer than 200 characters in length, then it would be a cut off on the very end. This is sometimes referred to as truncation. Now, ideally, I create one for city, state, zip code, and things of that nature. Let's do something a little bit different. I'm going to do a customer since field, and we'll want to store how long this customer has been in our database. So what I want to do is select a date time field. So let's go ahead and select date time as our choice there, and we'll allow this to be null and address to be null. And then finally, we may want some information like a number of orders. So here we might store a numeric value. We don't need to store a lot of numeric values. There's probably no chance that any given customer is going to store, you know, hundreds of thousands worth or purchase hundreds of thousands of orders from us. So we may want to make that a smaller value in our database, something like maybe a tiny int or a small int. And we'll talk about, again, data types in just a moment. We also may want to store the amount of money that has been spent with our store by this particular customer. And so we may want to store some data like that, and we'll make that of type money. Now I'm going to select Save Table 1, and I'm going to give a name to our table. I'm going to call this customers and click OK. Once I've saved it, I can now look over my Database Explorer and see that I have a new table called customers. I can even kind of drill down into customers and see all of the columns that I've defined. While I have the definition view open, I can change information about my database, or rather my table. I can delete columns, for example. So I'm going to select a given column and I'm going to select delete column. And as you can see, by selecting and right-clicking to get this context menu, I can do other things like insert columns in certain spaces and also make some changes to some other properties, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, if I were to do that and I had data that populated this table and I selected that I want to delete a column, it would delete a lot of data as well. So that can be a very dangerous operation. Nonetheless, you have that ability to redefine the structure of the table on the fly. In some cases, the database will allow you to do that. In other cases, doing this would be so destructive that it would violate data integrity, or rather those special rules that were set up to prevent you from deleting important information out of the database. But now that I've made that change, I'll need to, again, select Save Customers from our toolbar, and notice when we do that, that one of our columns disappeared. So now I have a table defined. How do I add and remove data from this table? Let's go ahead and close this from the main area, and I'll go ahead and close that as well. And say I wanted to open up this table and start inserting data into it. Let's select Show Table Data by right-clicking on the table, selecting from the context menu Show Table Data. In the main area, we'll see something that looks very much like, again, an Excel spreadsheet. This time, we're going to be allowed to see all of the columns in the very top row, and you'll see that it's kind of grayed out to let us know that we can't edit those per se. But in this next area, the row that has a little star next to it, these are values that we can modify by putting our cursor in and beginning to type. For example, I can put the number 3 for customer ID, and I can use as a first name Bob, and I can use the tab key on my keyboard to tab over to the next field of information, and so on. Notice each time I do that, that a little exclamation mark icon pops open. It simply says that this cell has changed. Let's get that again. The change hasn't been committed to the database. The original data is null. That's just to let us know that the changes that we made so far to this first row data have not been saved into the database. If we were to shut it down at this point by selecting the close buttons either from this view or the entire application, that data would not be saved into our database table. But as we go along and start making changes here, let's see. And we hit our tab button on our keyboard one last time, notice that we're given a little bit of an error that there was a problem that we created. And the reason it wouldn't allow us to save is that the data was in incorrect format. Let's go ahead and click the OK button to review the data that we put in. Now, the way that I typed in the data obviously was not in the correct format. I obviously missed a 6 in there somewhere. So that stopped me from entering the data. Here is where data integrity comes in. We can't enter data from the year 200. We had to enter data into the year 2006. Now we've got that change. We're going to go ahead and hit tab on our keyboard 2 more times, and this time we successfully saved the row of data into our database table, and you can see now that we've moved on to a new row listed underneath our original row. Now, just to prove that this actually did save in our table, we're going to close down this view and then go back to Customers and select Show Table Data once again. And when it opens back up, we'll see our row of data, Customer ID 3, is indeed still in our database table. So we have successfully added a new row of data to the table that we defined. And we could continue to do this with another row. And let's just do that for fun because we're going to need to make some changes here in a moment. Okay. So now we have two rows of data in our database. Let's say, for example, that we, from this view, wanted to change some information about our customer. For example, we want to go back to our customer since field and notice that using the little icon here, I can resize the field to display all the data or to cover some of the data up. I can also move to the beginning of the field and the end of the field using the home and the end buttons on my keyboard or the arrow keys to arrow back and forth between each of the individual characters. But what if I wanted to change the customer since and make it from March 1st, 2006 was the first time that this customer ordered from me. Now notice when I hit the tab key on my keyboard that I once again get my little icon, the cells changed, and the change has not been propagated at this point in time until we move our cursor off of this row. We can also see that we're in edit mode because there's a little pencil next to the row that we're currently editing. However, if I were to continue to hit the tab key on my keyboard, notice that now that change has been propagated back into our database table, that we've successfully saved that change. So here we were able to edit and update a given row of data simply by navigating similarly to how we would do it in an Excel spreadsheet. We can delete an entire row of data by selecting it with our mouse cursor on a given row, and then we can use the delete key on our keyboard to delete it. And it says, you're about to delete one row, click yes to permanently delete these rows. You won't be able to undo the changes. So we're going to click yes to that, and now it's gone. Customer ID number 3, Bob Tabor, will no longer be in our database unless we manually type it in again. Okay, so to briefly review what we were able to accomplish and maybe expound on a little bit, what we just did in the previous example was create a new database, create a table with columns, and then we were able to insert new records or rows of data into that table, retrieve the data back out through the table data view. We'll talk about that in a moment. We're able to update the data and delete the values in the database. And the way that we did that is the first method that's prescribed here, using the table data view within our Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition tool set. However, there's other ways to interact with our data. The other way would be through an ad hoc SQL statement, and we're going to demonstrate how to do that in lesson number 5. And then also by building applications, like we demonstrated in the first lesson, and how we'll expound on that in lesson number 8 using ADO.NET. Now, you often will see terminology, the term CRUD used in association with what we just did in regards to rows of data, records of data. And CRUD stands for create, read, update, delete, all the major operations that you can perform on data within your tables. So sometimes when you talk about CRUD operations, they're talking about your basic fundamental things that you do with the data. You create new rows, you can retrieve those rows and look at them, you can then update those rows with new data, and then delete those rows from your table. Okay, so as we conclude this video, we did talk about how to create a database, how to create tables, and how to create columns for our tables, and then how to perform the basic CRUD operations as we just learned about. One thing we didn't talk about and will be covered in the next video at length is some of the data, the properties of the columns. For example, if we right-click our table name and go into Open Table Definition, we largely ignored the column properties that were at the very bottom here. We didn't make any significant changes to them other than the nullable and the data type and things of that nature. In the next video, we'll talk more about the other properties of columns, as well as the data types themselves and other constraints that we can put on our fields in order to restrict and improve the data integrity of the data that gets inserted and updated in our database. And if you enjoy this video and this series as it's moving along, please visit www.learnvisualstudio.net for over 500 screen cam video tutorials just like this one on all topics related to .NET, including C#, Visual Basic, ASP.NET, and more. Thank you.